Hello, and thank you for joining the Golden Thread Conversations. I'm your host, Judy Murdoch. Today, I am so happy to be introducing Marilyn Webster. Marilyn is a weaver and writer. She weaves cotton kitchen towels and napkins with a desire to add beauty and sacredness to the tasks of everyday life, as well as to remind people of the beauty, worth, and worthiness that each of us carries with us and within us. Marilyn also has a blog and podcast, Walks with Asha, where she shares reflections inspired by walking with her dog, Asha, in the woods on the ancestral homelands of the Pocumtuck in what is now known as Western Massachusetts. So, Marilyn, welcome. It's so cool to be talking to you.
I'm so honored to be invited to participate in this, Judy. Thank you so much.
Well, I have very much been looking forward to talking to you. One of the things you do is you bring a great deal of consciousness and attention and deliberateness into your creative process. And you've always been, I've always found you so interesting to talk to when you talk about your work. You know, no, really, because I really love how you talk about your inspirations. And, you know, you can really get into some of the finer points of, you know, weaving, for example. But I always find it really, I'm just always really fascinated by it. So you really, you bring your craft alive in your descriptions. What I'd like to ask you about is, up to fairly recently, I knew you primarily as somebody who was a weaver and craftsperson. And I have several of your towels and a runner. I really have always loved your work. And you're beginning to transition into, you know, what you said was being a podcaster and writer, so more of a communicator in Walks with Asha. So I'm so curious, what was that inner journey like for you?
It has been an intriguing and surprising journey. when I first created the website for my weaving business is Whimsy and Tea, I also started writing monthly posts that I called Whimsygrams, thanks to a friend of mine. She came up with that name. And these would be posts about like lessons I learned at the loom or reflections about beauty in everyday life, slowing down. And a couple years ago, we adopted a puppy named Asha, and she both pulled me into the woods here, and she wiggled her way into the posts that I was writing. I still am, a women's coaching group, and when it would be my time to share what was going on, I'd often talk about something that had happened on a walk, and you know, what it got me wondering about. For example, when Asha was still quite young, I had thrown a stick into a stream for her. And as much as she loves water, she doesn't swim. And so I was noticing how, you know, she would stretch and stretch and stretch and try and get this stick, but she couldn't reach it. And then she kind of ran around to try and get it from a different angle and eventually circled back to where she started from. And meanwhile, you know, the stick is drifting slowly to the edge where it's within reach. And, you know, just sort of, if Asha had stayed still and waited, the stick would have come to her. And just kind of thinking in my own life, you know, how much time do I spend or energy do I expend, you know, rushing, trying to make things happen when if I just kind of gave them time, they would sort of drift towards me, you know, those kinds of, you know, a story like that. And I would share these in my group. And the women responded both to the content, but also kind of the aspect of being told a story, if you will. Mm-hmm. And it was a year ago this spring, this past, that I realized that these stories about Asha were asking for their own space. Mm-hmm. And so I set about creating this website called Walks with Asha. And then for the past year, I've been kind of navigating the balance between the two, between the weaving business and the writing about Asha. And when I would sit down to write a story, I'd have this question of, is this a whimsygram? Is this a Walks with Asha story? And increasingly the answer has become either Walks with Asha or both. Mm. And a couple months ago, I realized that it was time to let go of aspects of my weaving business. I'm not completely closing it, but needing to step back from some of the more marketing tasks as well as doing shows, although there are really not a whole lot of shows happening right now. And also to kind of make the move that all new writing gets posted to the Walks with Asha website. You know, when I created the site, I gave myself permission to write what wants to be written, whether or not it's about a walk. And I feel like the whimsygrams and the Walks with Asha stories, they're deeply connected. I don't feel like I can clearly articulate that connection. You know, I know they share themes and they're related. And I think also kind of some of this pause is about learning more about what that connection is.
Mm-hmm. I definitely, from the beginning, I've seen a connection between Walks with Asha and your whimsygrams, because in both, you talk a lot about process and insights and learning in both. So I think that for myself, I think that reflects your sensibility and sort of how you experience the world. And I like both a lot, even though, as you said, the topics, the focus of the topics is different. I still like how you like what that the story you told at the beginning about Asha, you know, like running around and trying to get the stick, and this distinction of like when we try to make something happen versus allowing something to just happen, which I so deeply resonate with. You know, I totally do. that's really cool, Marilyn. I love just hearing how present you've been to, like, I guess, like, what's true for you at a moment. Would that be a way to explain it?
Yes. And I think that's actually a lot about what Walks with Asha has been for me, about listening. And
And to the not people, I like that too.
Right, listening to the not people, but also listening to something within me. Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
I mean, and I think, Judy, I think like the context for my whimsygrams has often been weaving, but I guess I've never felt like they're just about weaving, so to speak.
I totally agree.
And so that there's kind of that connection there.
That's what I liked about whimsygrams always. I always feel like you invite me into your process, and you know, it's about, as you said, it's about weaving, and then it's about something larger too.
Yeah.
So I always feel like I'm being invited into your creative process.
Well, I'm happy to have you invite you in, Judy. And you've always been
It's
so
fun.
wonderful about sharing, reflections about your own process and what, does or doesn't resonate with your own experience.
Yeah, it's I want to just I guess say a bit more about this process of transitioning, where I think maybe the way I would explain it or the way I would articulate it for myself would be the focus of my creativity and my creative activity shifts. And what's really, and this is really tricky for me and something I didn't see coming, because I think, Marilyn, for myself, having come out of a business background, and business is very, even though the world that a business, sort of resides in is entirely, you never know what's going to happen. It's very unpredictable. You can just look at the last, even like the last 2 weeks, and so much has happened. And so, but you still, as a business, businesses still are systematic. They have to work with processes because you're coordinating a large group of people towards, a common end. And the way I held things was it wasn't didn't matter if it was of interest to me or not. It was an assignment, it was a responsibility. I owned it and I got it done because I took my role as a team member seriously. And as I've been doing the art, doing more painting and drawing and that type of thing, I've seen it shift quite a bit. And most recently, I created several, I call them practice cards or ritual cards, but they're basically like a sturdy card with a design on one side, and then some type of ritual with the intention of connection to something greater and a inner peace and I guess illumination, and often I think connection with our body, like sort of the wisdom in our bodies. And I was absolutely committed to doing these for the year. I had a lot of ideas and I really enjoyed creating them and using them, and I received so much. I'm trying to think of like the right word, like enthusiasm, and people saying like, yeah, do it, encouragement, and it felt so good. And then at some point, I began to feel like I wanted to do something different. And I began to do a lot of watercolor. And that is sort of where my attention is currently, like deeply focused. But I find I absolutely have to, unless I'm doing it, unless it was a situation where I did have a commitment to do a commission or something like that, I really have to just sort of allow myself to follow where sort of like follow what's most alive for me. But it's, I find it frustrating. And in some ways I like it because I like not feeling so hemmed in. But it's also hard for somebody like myself who's a planner and very structured, and for somebody to say, I mean, it's gutsy, I think. It's gutsy to, whimsy and tea has been around for at least a decade, hasn't it? And it's how you're known. And I think it's so gutsy to just say, this just isn't what a lot is alive for me, even when there are people like me, for example, who will say, but Marilyn, I love your weaving and I was looking forward to the new pattern you were going to share when you start to do your, when you do your next batch or whatever. So one of the things I did want to ask you about was, how has it been, how has your change in direction been received by people?
The people who have responded have been very supportive and encouraging. Even those who've expressed a certain a degree of sadness about it, and but kind of with the understanding that things shift and change. I'm still weaving. And I'll be quietly updating my store from time to time, but I'm pressing pause on the marketing aspects of it. And I have also really appreciated those people who have responded by saying, you know, whether it's a Whimsygram or a Walks with Asha story, you're always welcome in my inbox. And it's just meant so much to me. And I've also been really honored and moved by comments, you know, over the years, but I feel like I've gotten a number of them recently, really before I made my kind of transition, if you will, public, you know, of just the difference that their towels or napkins or runners have made in their everyday lives, and, you know, that they can, you know, I feel like when I weave, and probably when most people create something, I'm thinking by hand, but maybe not exclusively by hand, you know, that we put a piece of ourselves into it. And so I feel like my love and joy and intentions are woven into the cloth. And, you know, I've gotten a couple comments lately about, I'm thinking of one person in particular where, you know, she can feel that. And that too has meant a lot to me. And I think, you know, there've been moments when I feel like, you know, I get a comment like that and I think, why am I stopping? something is clearly working here. But I'm also just clear that I don't feel like I'm done with Whimsy and Tea. Right now, this feels like a pause. You know, we'll see what happens. I've been very touched by the support that I've received. It's meant so much to me.
I have a couple observations. So one is, I always felt that you held your work lightly. And by that I mean, and you know, it may not be the case, but certainly reading your Whimsygrams, for example, they have never been intense. There has never been a feeling of, oh my God, this is on sale. They're gonna sell like hotcakes. So if you want yours, you'd better get it now. Mm-hmm. You know, it simply is not who you are, Marilyn, which I so appreciate. My sense of you, you know, in the way you have presented and sold your work has been, I have these beautiful things. You might talk a little bit how they were created or what inspired them. They're available on my store. I really, you know, love this particular pattern. And, you know, if you'd like to learn more, you know, here's the link. So it was always presented as sort of like, I have something I love. It's very, you know, really beautiful. I feel great about it. And I am sharing it with you and they're for sale. So you can have one if you wish, which is a really good feeling. And I think that because of that, I think it was perhaps easier for folks to just move with you, because you've always presented things in a very open-handed way. And that is meant as a compliment to you and sort of how you bring yourself into your marketing.
Well, thank you. I definitely received that as a compliment.
Good, good.
And I know one of those challenges is, I feel like one of the things like we're supposed to do is, well, let me just backtrack. I feel like that kind of creating urgency has never really sat well with me. You know, I would love deeply for these to move out into the world and to be used in people's everyday lives. But kind of pushing that or creating an urgency around that has never, it just has never sat well with me.
I relate.
Yeah.
The other observation I wanted to make was the comment you made about people, telling you how much they love your things, and that feeling of, how you put your love, like so much love and your spirit into your work. And it really is tricky. Sometimes I will, for example, if I paint a bouquet of flowers or a really pretty mountain scene, people love that. People respond really deeply to those things because, of course, those things are like beautiful to our eyes, and it's so easy to love, like the picture of a bunch of daisies or a Colorado mountain scene. And recently, my most recent work are three pictures of things that I saw while I was walking in alleys, and they simply delighted me. I love walking in alleys. I see all sorts of things that just sort of, they just sort of like they delight me. There was a house that where somebody put skis, like kind of they bracketed their door with skis because we're in Colorado. And I just thought it was kind of charming the way they did it. And I think part of creativity, at least for myself, is seeing something that is beautiful to me, that moves me, and capturing it, because that's what painting is for me. Painting is a way to capture something I saw and loved, and with the hope that somebody else will see it and love it as well. But also knowing that, the picture of the little buoy, hanging on someone's fence, that's not going to move a lot of people as much as a beautiful picture of the chalk cliffs. But, to be true to myself and my heart, I need to do that as well, even if I know it won't be a crowd pleaser.
I mean, yes, and I think there's kind of, for me, it's also been a matter of holding that piece of knowing my towels aren't going to be for everybody, and and that kind of my towels in general, but also a specific thing, a specific group of towels,
That's
because
true.
we all have really different, we all have such different tastes. And I think it's hard to think back to the very beginning, and I might have taken it a bit more personally at the beginning of things when I was just stepping out and seeing if this was going to work. But now, now I'm able to hold that fairly lightly and just kind of know that it will speak, that my towels, the napkins will speak to some people and not to others, and that that's not a reflection on me. It's not a reflection on the weaving at all. It's just the way it is.
Yeah, I guess it's kind of a sweet spot. You hope that, like that thing about what you love and what enough people will love so that there's a market there for you. I wanted to ask you about your sources of inspiration. So one of the things you shared was just observing Asha on a walk. What other are there? I mean, gosh, observing a dog, like there's so much we can learn, right, from our animal friends. Other things that are sources of inspiration for you?
When it comes to the weaving, I would say that the number one source of inspiration is probably the natural world, and seeing color combinations. I'm never trying to completely recreate something. I mean, with my looms, I can't do anything pictorial. So, it might be a little bit about the texture, or the color combination, but like I can't weave the image of a flower. But there's also times when like I have certain color combinations that I love.
What are
I
some of the
love
ones you love?
combinations of blue. Well, I'm drawn over and over again to blue greens and green blues.
Interesting.
I black, white, and red is a classic kind of combination that I'll revisit every once in a while, or also like blues and yellows together. So sometimes it's just a desire for one of those. There's other there's other sources, of maybe some other textiles I've seen, or I used to look at brochures put out by painting companies, like their color of the year or their kind of color forecasts,
Yeah, totally.
but I haven't done that as much recently. And when it comes to writing, I guess, but with the walks with Asha's stories, often it's observing Asha or it's observing something in nature. But it's also a matter of I feel like I write to figure out what it is I want to say, and that sometimes, something will just kind of keep swirling around for me, a thought or an idea, and I realize that I have to, there's something important here that wants exploring, and so I'll then go with that and try and figure out what it is, what it is that it's wanting me to learn or discover in the writing process.
Yeah, no, I get that. I can relate really, really well. So I'm curious. I know I have all kinds of things that get in the way of me creating. I'm curious, are there any bête noirs or whatever that are like get in the way?
I think this goes back to what you were saying earlier, Judy, about the cards that you'd been creating, and now that you're finding yourself really drawn to watercolors. And I think the biggest thing for me that gets in the way is probably all of the shoulds, and kind of the old stories that I carry with me. These ideas of like, this is what the creative process is supposed to look like. I think there's probably a way that I carry that more with writing than with weaving.
How does
Like
that, if I
this
may ask,
idea that
like,
I should write faster.
okay. Yeah, I was looking for an example, kind of like what that looks like for you.
That, I feel like it takes me time, and I could try and set limits around it and say, I will work on this piece for X amount of time and then just declare it done. But that hasn't worked for me. And so I think that, I have these ideas that it should be faster, it should be easier, I that's when it comes to writing, that's probably the biggest one. I think with weaving is a different, it's a different thing. Weaving is slow, and the slowness of it suits me, and I feel like there certainly I don't have an expectation that it's going to be really fast. But I think, in the bigger picture too, there's a should of my life is supposed to look like this. And kind of when I think of when I think of the longer journey of my life, I mean, it took me a long time to come to weaving, and I don't it's not like I, as a teenager, I was hoping to make my living as a weaver, but just I think to also embrace that required letting go of other shoulds about what my life was supposed to look like.
I think that's the word that kept coming to mind as you were speaking was organic, which to me is about being respectful to your inner rhythms that you
Right. Yeah.
have. Yeah. I'll tell you
Yeah,
what
I'm
one of
there. Yeah.
I want to like share one of the shoulds that really kicks my ass all the time. I don't like I trace my the work I do right now. So if I'm going to paint something, I usually compose it first on the computer and then I print it out and then I trace it. So, so the larger forms are there and sort of the way it's composed on the page. And I personally feel deeply guilty that I don't do it freehand because artists are supposed to be really amazing at freehand drawing. Like you're supposed to be able to like draw, like that's like a fundamental thing. And I can draw, I've always been able to, but right now my drawing ability is not good enough, put simply. So that's a particular shit that just kicks my butt on a daily basis.
I have a friend, Judy, who's a watercolorist, and she has a different but similar process where she does not like paint freehand, if you will. Yeah.
So I guess I'm going to trust that when I feel that the process I'm using is like too confining for me, I trust I will start to draw more. But right now I enjoy
Yeah.
the way I do it. And I create things that make me happy.
And that's worth a lot.
It's worth a lot, Marilyn.
It is.
I was listening to an interview with a musician, and he said because of COVID, the last 6 months have been the busiest in recent memory for him. And somebody said, "Why do you think that is?" And he said, "Well, I'm home, I'm in my studio. If I can collaborate with somebody, hey, why not? And what better time to be creating stuff than during a pandemic, where you're doing something that's joyful for you. And what better way to live during a time like that?" And I thought that was really wise.
Well, and I guess I think it's also, what you were saying, I think part of it is like trusting, I don't know if this is too cliche, but like trusting the process and that the way you enjoy doing it now will take you wherever it is you go next.
Yep, that's the golden thread.
Right.
So,
There's
oh,
Asha.
hello, Asha. Well, hello,
Hi.
Asha. All right, join the show. Asha's in the conversation now as well. I wanted to ask you, I'm kind of curious, do you see any like additional directions that walks with Asha might take? So I am just going to throw the example out that you do videos, just as an example. But it could be anything.
I do not know yet. I hadn't considered a video. Right now, that's not calling me. I feel like my whole journey with Walks with Asha, I feel like has been one of listening.
Cool.
Like creating a blog and a podcast, I mean, that is me reading, telling the stories aloud. That wasn't ever on a list of things I wanted to do. And it's still kind of at times just surprises me that this is what I'm doing right now.
Yeah.
But that, you know, often when we've walked in the woods, I'll sometimes feel like I hear this trail saying, you know, turn here, let's go check this out and see where this goes.
Really?
And that then
that's
sort
so
of
cool.
Paying attention to that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Paying attention to that helps me then pay attention again in the rest of life, you know, so that when something inside of me says, it's time to create a website for these stories, that I go, really? Okay, let's go.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
We'll see where this goes. And so far, really, all of the stories have been pretty much grounded in our walks. And mm-hmm. now that I've sort of let go of the whimsygrams and I'm posting all my new writing at Walks with Asha, mm-hmm. that might expand more. Mm-hmm. We'll see. But I just feel like right now I'm also very much kind of settling into this decision and this transition. And we'll see. You know, at the same time, I've also found myself, also much to my surprise, because this was definitely on a cannot do list, I have found myself sketching sometimes. And for me, it's very much like a learning tool. It's not about creating art. And I don't, right now it's very much for me, but not something that I want to share at all. But yeah, that was just kind of a surprise. So, you know, who knows? We'll see. We'll see what other surprises and unexpected yeah. turns are ahead.
I'm looking forward to it. You know, I thank you for, I really am very appreciative to you for sort of like making your journey, like both like your larger life and creative, like life journey as a creator, sort of like so available to me. And also making each of those little walks and the little discoveries that you make, like, I really feel them, like they're very palpable for me. Like, I almost feel like I can see like the trail sort of like taking a little turn into the trees, and where might that go?
Oh, good. Thank you. I'm so glad.
Yeah, yeah. So, Marilyn, let's see, there's another thing, but I don't know if I want to go into that. I guess all I was going to say was how uncomfortable my days are. My days are so uncomfortable. and that was a surprise to me. And I feel like you sort of touched on that stretching that, you know, like I remember so often hearing people who were entrepreneurs, they would say, like, you know, one day's never like the next. I never know like what's going to come the next day. And they always sounded so happy about it, like, yeah, like it's so cool. And I don't know if it's because I'm like a creature of habit, but I just like because I think because I'm on a pretty a learning curve, and I don't even know if it's a steep learning curve or like what the angle is exactly. I just know that every day I do at least one thing and it's really uncomfortable. And I do it because I just feel like to not do it would be to not be true to myself. And so I do it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell you, there are just days where I just wish I could go back to like living like a really sort of boring life again. And by boring, I just mean
really?
Like going back, like, in, you know, doing like my corporate work where I was like working on projects and I knew exactly I knew next week this is what I'll be working on. And, you know, as I said before, life is not predictable, but it's certainly more predictable than this. And so I think that's like
one of my things. Do you find a relief in it?
Oh, yeah. There's enormous pleasure in painting. There is enormous pleasure in having an idea and making it, bringing it through to reality. There's enormous pleasure in sharing it with other people. And when somebody else says, wow, I love that, it makes me happy. That feels really good too. And when I occasionally sell something at my Etsy store, there's enormous pleasure in that as well. So I feel like I get a great deal for the discomfort, but the level of discomfort surprises me.
I was recently thinking back to many years ago, like at least 25 years ago. I took a black and white photography class at the local community college. And on the first day of class, the teacher was really clear in saying, I'm asking you to take risks.
Exactly.
And how important that was. And I think, I think these times are also asking us to take a lot of risks. I'm not sure where I'm going with that, but I've just been thinking about that, and that was a really important class in my life. And
that's cool.
Kind of that it's hard and so important to take those risks, I guess.
So
yeah,
I'm going to tag on to that because I totally agree. I don't think you can I think somebody once said, if you're not uncomfortable, you're not growing. And I think that's for myself, that's very true. I think as sort of like a corollary, if you will, would be, it's really important for us to be supported, so in our mm-hmm. lives with the people yeah. who love us, with our friends, I feel you are part of my support system. And I can always, like, you're a person I see as, if I want to bounce something off of, like an idea, or I just want to complain, I can do that. You won't judge me. I feel like you're really great at just sort of, taking things in and listening and, usually giving me some very, observations or perspectives or, you share experience, and you do it as I said, in a very sort of deliberate and very thoughtful way. And that I appreciate that.
Thank you, Judy. And you've been a part of my support system too.
I'm a fan of yours.
Thank you. And I've enjoyed accompanying you on your journey as well.
It's fun, isn't it? And it's really like satisfying about it, like deeply satisfying.
Yes, there is.
Marilyn, I'm just kind of checking the time, and I wanted to ask you, for people who would like to learn more about your work, whether it's Whimsy and Tea or Walks with Asha, where would they go?
The best places to go are my two websites. I am not super active on social media. So it's Whimsy and Tea, WHIMSYANDTEA.com. And Walks with Asha Asha is spelled ASHA. So WALKSWITHASHA.com.
Great. And what I'll do is when I post this episode, when the recording goes up, there will also be a brief description on my website that has the links so people can visit you and read what you've written and enjoy some of the enjoy pictures of the beautiful things that you weave.
Thanks. I appreciate you doing that, Judy.
Yeah. One of my hopes with these podcasts is always that it offers more people opportunities to get to know, you know, it brings you together with people who would be interested in your work.
Well, I appreciate that, you know, kind of the sharing and the generosity of that sharing, Judy. I really appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
And it's also been a fun opportunity for me to kind of to reflect more on this whole process of on this journey I've been on.
Well, you use
so
the word.
I thank you for that as well.
Marilyn, you are so welcome. Thank you for your time. It was, I mean, this was delightful for me.